Hare Krishna. So we are continuing our lecture series on lessons from the life of Srila Madhavendra Puri. And in the last week's talk, where we concluded in the last week, we discussed about how Madhavendra Puri had this regret in his heart that although Krishna had come to him in the form of a boy, cowherd boy, he had not recognized him. And Madhavendra Puri did not simply sit there lamenting and regretting. Madhavendra Puri acted upon that regret. And what was the act? The act was he now meditated on how to execute the order of Gopal. And therefore last week we were talking about this, that one may have deep regret in one's heart for having missed a lot of opportunities in devotional service. But regret is of less or no value if it is not worked upon by trying to focus on the orders of Krishna, the Acharyas and the spiritual master. So now, Madhavendra Puri wakes up in the morning after having seen this dream and he collects all the residents of Vrindavan in the local area and goes into the area that was pointed in by Lord Krishna in his dream. That grove, that kunja, where Lord Krishna had said, my deity is hidden here, you please pull me out of this place. Madhavendra Puri collected all the Vrindavanvasis, the residents of Braj, and came to that grove. And it was a very difficult place because there were a lot of trees. They had to cut down those trees with choppers and axes. And finally, when they reached that place and started digging, then all the residents of Vrindavan could see the deity of Gopal, which is modern day Srinath ji. Jai Shri Radha Gopulanand ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai. Gaur Nitai ki Jai. And Madhavendra Puri saw the same deity that had come in his dream. All the residents of Vrindavan were besides themselves in joy to see how the Lord had manifested himself. But the Lord was covered with a lot of dirt and grass, and therefore the dirt and the grass and all the coverings were removed. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that he was Mahabhari Thakur. Bhari means heavy. In Sanskrit, Hindi, Bhari means heavy. And Mahabhari means extremely heavy. He was extremely heavy, and therefore when devotees tried to move him, he wouldn't just move. Therefore what Madhavendra Puri did was, Maha Maha Balishtha Loka. He collected all the strong people of Vrindavan. All the skinny people were coming and they couldn't move Gopal. You know? They just couldn't shake Gopal from where he was. So then Maha Maha Balishtha Loka Ekatra Kariya. He collected all the Maha Maha Balishtha, all the people with bronze. You know, really strong people. And Parvata Upari, he took the deity of Gopal on top of the hill. Madhavendra Puri, further after putting the deity on top, had all the devotees in Vrindavan come together for a festival. Some people came and gave donations of wheat, rice, dals for cooking for the pleasure of the Lord. Some people came and started cooking. Some were cooking chapati, some were cooking dal, some was cooking rice, and different items were being cooked. And a fantastic festival was celebrated on top of the Govardhan Hill, where Madhavendra Puri performed an abhishek for the deity of Shri Gopal, and the deity was installed. A huge, massive Annakoot ceremony was celebrated. All the residents of Vrindavan were reminded of the times when Krishna had worshipped Govardhan, and the Annakoot ceremony was celebrated. So in this way, Madhavendra Puri created a community of seva. Around Govardhan, where the temple of Gopal was, he created a community of service. Madhavendra Puri himself engaged in service to Shri Gopal, and he engaged all the people around according to their propensities in service to Shri Gopal. Those who are Mahabalishta, very strong, he asked them to carry Gopal. Those who had a lot of wealth, he asked them to give charity. Those who could cook, he asked them to cook. Those who could worship the deity, he asked them to worship the deity. And he himself was engaged in service of the deity. Therefore, the Guruvashtakam prayers are, Shri Vigraharadhana Nitya Nana Shringaratana Mandira Marjanadu Yuktasya Bhaktamshaniyunjatopi The spiritual master is himself engaged in service to the Lord. Yuktascha. Yukta means to be engaged. And bhaktamscha niyunjatopi. He engages the disciples and the devotees also in service to the Lord and creates a community based on the most cardinal principle of service or seva. If one simply likes to hear, that is no good. If one simply comes and listens to Krishna Katha and simply becomes a philosopher, what is the use of all that philosophy? Absorption in hearing must lead to seva. Unless one is serving, then one can't say that I have heard enough. We hear Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, the story of Putana, and as he is listening to the story of Putana, he is absorbed in hearing. But as he is hearing, suddenly Parikshit gets into the mood and he says, no, I must do something for Krishna. Putana is entering Gokul, she is going to kill Krishna, I can't stay here, and he starts walking off. And Shukadeva Goswami says, no, wait a minute, the pastime is over. It's a historical story. You sit here and listen now. And he allays his fear. Absorbed in hearing, but leads to a service attitude to do something for Krishna. Kulashekhar Maharaj is absorbed in hearing about Lord Ramchandra. And as soon as he hears the story of how Sita is being kidnapped, immediately Kulashekhar Maharaj leaves his palace, mounts his horse, takes his entire army and starts rushing towards the southern ocean to go to Lanka to save Sita from the clutches of Ravana. And the pastime took in Treta Yuga and Kulashekhar was in Kali Yuga. But if someone's absorbed in hearing, absorption in hearing must lead to a service attitude which actually makes a person do something. Otherwise, there are many people who can sit and read all these literatures and listen to all these literatures, discuss all these literatures. But if it doesn't translate into practical action of having a deep, genuine service attitude to do something for the Lord, to do something for the mission, to do something for the devotees, and to do something for the living beings in general, it only remains a theoretical exercise of having understood good philosophy. Madhavendra Puri was not simply a philosopher. He was a man of action. Because he knew bhakti means devotional service. And therefore he himself engaged in seva. But he engaged all the residents of Braj around him in seva. Because he knew it's not philosophy that attracts Krishna. It's not philosophy that attracts Krishna. Anyone can be a big philosopher. What attracts Krishna is a genuine service attitude. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he explained that if you have a magnet, a powerful magnet, and you keep wood close to the magnet, wood will never be attracted by the magnet. But if you keep an iron filing right next to the magnet, the iron filing is very attractive for the magnet. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada explained, Krishna is like a powerful magnet. And what is wood? The enjoyer attitude. Enjoyment attitude is like wood. Just like wood is never attractive to the magnet, similarly, the attitude of enjoyment is never attractive to Krishna. And what is the iron filing? Iron filing is a genuine service attitude. Just like an iron filing is very attractive to the magnet, similarly, a genuine service attitude is very attractive to Krishna. Krishna is never attracted by simply enjoying attitude. And even in devotional service, one can get into that attitude of enjoying Krishna rather than serving Krishna. When Ram was leaving for Vanvas, for exile, Lakshman was with him. And Mother Sumitra called Lakshman and said to Lakshman, Lakshman, you should remember one thing. There is nothing and no one more beautiful than Lord Ram in the creation. He is the essence of all beauty. Krishna is black beauty. You know, Mahaprabhu is gold beauty. Ram is green beauty. Green in complexion. He said, there is no one more beautiful than Ram. Anyone who looks at Ram gets totally charmed by his beautiful countenance, by his beautiful form, and gets absorbed. Lakshman, there is a threat. The threat is, when you go to the forest with Ram, you'll get so absorbed in seeing his beauty, you'll forget to serve him. He'll simply keep enjoying his beauty and he'll forget to serve him. Which means one can enjoy Bhagavan also. Sumitra told Lakshman, please for the next 14 years don't look at Ram. Imagine being with Lord Ram and not looking at Lord Ram. For the next 14 years don't look at Ram. Because if you look at Ram, I know what the consequence will be. The consequence will be you will just be so captivated and charmed, you'll forget your seva. Don't look at him. Mother Yashoda has Krishna right in her lap. And she's looking at her beautiful face. And the milk on the stove boils over. She does not enjoy Krishna. She puts Krishna down to go and serve Krishna by taking care of the milk on the stove. And therefore, our hearing and everything in Krishna consciousness must lead to a service attitude, which is like that iron filing. Enjoyment attitude is like the wood, non-attractive to Krishna, the magnet. Service attitude is like the iron filing, which is very attractive to Krishna, who is like the magnet. Lord Balaram, when he saw that the war between the Pandavas and the Kauravas was inevitable, he didn't want to take any sides. He was neutral. He saw Krishna is taking side with the Pandavas. Lord Balaram immediately left Hastinapur. He said, I don't want to be party to this. I'll just be neutral. And left. But when he left, he went to all different places of pilgrimage, taking darshan of Krishna in each place. Except to one place of pilgrimage. Srila Prabhupada writes this in a purport. He did not go only to one holy place, and that was Jagannath Puri. And why did he not go to Jagannath Puri? Because he did not want to enjoy the sight of himself being worshipped on the altar. On the altar in Puri, there is Jagannath, Subhadra and Balabhadra, Baldev. So Lord Balaram in Dwapar Yuga deliberately did not go to Jagannath Puri to avoid the enjoyment attitude. If I do not want to go and see myself being worshipped, you know. And therefore, enjoyment attitude is with things. We want to enjoy things. But more than things, one wants to enjoy being worshipped. And Balabhadra, he did not go to Puri simply for this one thing. I do not want to be the enjoyer, you know. I do not want to be wood, non-attractive to Krishna. And he's good. He's God himself. You know, but he said, no, I won't go there because I am being worshipped there. I don't want to see myself being worshipped. There's such a strong tendency to be worshipped. There was this man called David Aller in New York, big musician. This man, he was asked by a person, a reporter, David, you said that the whole world should look up to New York for inspiration. He said, yes, I did say that. The whole world must look to New York for inspiration. But if the whole world is looking up to New York for inspiration, where does New York look for inspiration? And this man replied by saying, modesty forbids me from saying so, but it is me. You know, he said, it is me. So the whole world looks to New York, and New York looks unto me for inspiration. Strong tendency to enjoy being worshipped, to enjoy being honored, to enjoy feeling that it is me because of whom everything is going on. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was once sitting in his room and he gave a big lecture on detachment from things, from worship. Spoke about renunciation and detachment. And as they were talking the lecture, all the devotees were still sitting and there was a bunch of bananas kept close by and a monkey came into the mat, picked up the bunch of bananas and started running away. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur got off the Vyasasan, took a stick in his hand and started chasing this monkey and went and with that stick chased the monkey and the monkey threw the bananas down, picked up those bananas and returned and kept it in its place. All the devotees sitting in the class were absolutely bewildered. He was talking about not being the enjoyer, being detached, and here we find, just for a couple of bananas, he left the class in the middle, ran away, you know, shot the monkey, collected the bananas and returned back. So one disciple just could not restrain. He asked, Prabhupada, I have a question. Bhaktisiddhanta Suresh Thakur said yes. He said, Prabhupada, you just spoke about detachment, not being the enjoyer. And seems like you're so attached, seems like, apparently, you're so attached to enjoying a banana that you ran after a monkey to get your banana back. Bhaktisiddhanta Suresh Thakur Prabhupada replied by saying, this is not my banana. It's not meant for me. It is Srimati Radharani's property which she wants to use in service to Krishna. And therefore, since it is Srimati Radharani's property meant for Krishna, whether a monkey takes it or a donkey takes it, whoever takes it, I have to go rescue that property and bring it to offer it to Srimati Radharani so she can offer it to Krishna. You know. And therefore, that is true detachment, not being the enjoyer, but giving everything to Guru and to Srimati Radharani to use it in service to Krishna. You know. And therefore, Rupa Goswami spoke about Yukta Vairagya, using everything in service to Krishna in a mode of detachment. And the person who wrote that verse, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatharham Upayunjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate, using everything in service to Krishna, sold everything that he had and did not have anything. Rupa Goswami, who coined that verse, gave up everything so that others could use it in service to Krishna, and he stayed under a tree. Balaramji came to all holy places except one, Jagannath Puri, because he did not want to see himself being worshipped on the altar. And then Balaramji, not just did he have the attitude of I am not the enjoyer, but he also had the attitude I am not the controller. When he returned back, the battle was almost over. But when he returned, it was the battle between Duryodhan and Bhima. And as both of them were fighting, Balaram was the guru of Duryodhan also. He had taught him club fighting. And he was thinking, my disciple is here and Bhima is here. And Krishna is telling you, hit under the waist. It's not proper. But Balaramji understood, Krishna is the supreme controller. He understands everything. I am not the controller. I can say things. I can object. According to all moral codes and Kshatriya codes, I can object. But I won't. Because I know Krishna is the controller. Nothing is in my control. Balaramji, understanding Krishna is the controller, left that place also, saying, I don't even want to see this fight. He had come there to see the fight between Duryodhan and Bhima. But he just left in the middle with this in his mind that I am not the controller. So what's Balaram? Balaram is the attitude of I am not the enjoyer. I do not want to be worshipped. I do not want to see myself being worshipped. And what else is Balaram? Balaram is I am not the controller. I can say things. I can object because I am also an incarnation of Krishna. Direct expansion of Krishna. And here is Krishna asking him to disobey the Kshatriya rules of conduct. I can tell Krishna, what are you doing? You can't do this. You can't tell Bhima to hit under the waist of Duryodhan. No, I know he is the supreme controller. And Balaramji walked off from there. And therefore, this enjoyment and controller attitude is the wood which Krishna can never be attracted by. Just like a magnet can never attract wood, similarly this enjoying and controlling attitude can never attract Krishna. And just like a magnet will always attract iron filings, similarly, Krishna is very much attracted by a genuine service attitude. Hanumanji in the Valmiki Ramayana is a classic example of service attitude. When Hanuman came to meet Lord Ram for the first time, Lord Ram asked Hanumanji, who are you? And he said, I am the secretary of Sugriva. Lord Ram told Lakshman, what a nice man this Hanuman is. Such an amazing person. Just look at his humility. His humility is exactly the kind of humility that is described in the verses and the mantras of the Rig Veda. Just look at the retention he has, his remembrance and memory, and his gestures and body language. His retention and his body language is exactly the way as is described in the mantras of the Yajurveda. And just look at his speech. It is so sweet, like a song, His speech is exactly like the singing of the mantras in the Sam Veda. Lakshman, Hanuman is such a perfect personality to be a minister and to be an ambassador in our kingdom, in Ayodhya. But anyways, let's leave him to what he is. And then Hanuman asked them, "Who are you?" Lord Ram did not reply. After meeting Hanuman for the next 4 months, Lord Ram did not speak a single word to Hanuman. He had come to me, it is a devotee of Lord Ram has come. He did not speak a single word to Hanuman. Lord Ram spoke to Shurpanakha. And she's a demoness, imagine. As soon as first time she came, she asked, Shurpanakha came and asked, "Who are you?" He said, "I am the son of Dasharath." Hanuman came and asked, "Who are you?" He did not answer. Lord Ram spoke to a demon, Kabandha. Lord Ram spoke to a tribal king, Guha. Lord Ram spoke to a tribal lady, Shabari. But Hanuman comes and asks identity, "Who are you?" Did not reply. Lord Ram told Lakshman, "You reply." You know, sometimes like someone, boss will tell secretary, "This man is below my dignity. You talk to him. I don't want to talk to him." You know, sometimes when you talk to some big person comes, he'll talk only to the big shots. Why should he talk to someone so insignificant? Why did Lord Ram deal with Hanuman like an insignificant person? You know, he's such a devotee. We all consider him the emblem of service, Dasyam. Why is the question? And all the acharyas have given a clear answer to why. Lakshmana, he spoke to Hanuman. He said, "You know what, Hanuman?" He didn't say Hanuman because he hadn't revealed it. He said, "You know what? This person here with me, his name is Ram. He's a son of Dasharath. And he calls me his younger brother. But to tell you the truth, it is just his kindness that he calls me the younger brother. Actually, I'm simply a servant of Ram. It's his kindness he calls me his brother. I'm simply a servant who's meant to serve Lord Ram." Hanumanji realized his mistake. When he was asked what was his identity, instead of saying, "I am the servant of the Lord," he said, "I am a servant and a secretary of Sugriva." And at that point of time, Sugriva had not even become a devotee surrendering to Lord Ram. At least if he was a devotee, then he would be a servant of the servant. But at this point of time, Sugriva was not even a servant of Lord Ram. And therefore, when he said, "I am a servant and a secretary to Sugriva," Lord Ram didn't like it. He said, "Every living being is my servant. Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nityadas." And he who knows everything, he whose humility is like the mantras in Rig Veda, he whose retentions and gestures are based on the mantras of Yajurveda, he whose speech is like the sweet singing of the Sam Veda, one who is the knower of all the Vedas, still says, "I am a servant and a secretary to an ordinary mortal." This is mistaken. Based on this mistake of Hanuman, for 4 months Lord Ram neglected him and did not speak a single word to Hanuman because he identified himself as a servant of a mortal and not as a servant of the Lord. You know? And then, after a couple of months, Lord Ram didn't even say anything. Lakshman was doing all the talking. Sita had to be found. Gave Hanuman the mudrika, the coronet, the ring with Ram written on it, as a sign to give it to Sita and remind Sita of Ram that I'm coming. Sita, Mother Sita, happily married to Ram, you know, happily married to Ram, and days were all going fine out of Ayodhya in the forest. But wherever there is Ram, that is Ayodhya, that is the spiritual world. She was in the spiritual world in the forest with Ram. But then a deer came, the golden deer. And Valmiki uses the word for the golden deer. What Sita felt is Nayana Abhiramaha. Nayana Abhiram. Nayan is eyes and Abhiram is very attractive. The golden deer became so attractive to Sita that she considered the golden deer more than Lord Ram at that point of time. Of course, the acharyas explain and warn us that Mother Sita is the Ladini Shakti, the spiritual potency of the Lord. And we're not going to judge her based on this, but the Acharyas have compared Mother Sita to a Jiva, and how the Jiva leaves the spiritual world, and the entire journey of the Jiva from the material world through the spiritual world back to the spiritual world. You know, what happens on the path. And that comparison is made by the Acharyas with a warning that don't think Mother Sita is bewildered and comes under Maya and is attracted by the golden deer. But to teach us, she goes through all of this and gives us very crucial lessons. So she considers the deer so beautiful, she tells Ram, I want that. And Srila Prabhupada also explained, just like Sita was very happy with Ram, all the living beings were happy with the Lord in the spiritual world. But then there is always a golden deer. The golden deer makes Sita separated from Lord Ram. Similarly, the tendency to enjoy separately from Krishna makes us separated from Krishna. Like Sita was kidnapped away from Ram, we are kidnapped away from the Lord by the material energy. Ravana kidnaps Sita. Maya kidnaps the Jiva. Krishna bhuliya Jiva bhogavancha kare, nikatastha maya tare jhapatiya dhare. Jhapatiya dhare means pouncing and grabbing the person. As soon as Sita's Ram is away, Ravan pounces upon Sita. As soon as Krishna is away, Maya pounces upon the Jiva. Ravana takes Sita to Ashok Vatika in Lanka. The Jiva is brought by Maya in the material world. So the material world is compared to Lanka. Maya is compared to Ravana. Just like Ravana kidnapped Sita away from Ram and brought her to Lanka, Maya kidnaps us away from Krishna and brings us to this material world. Why? Because we want the golden deer. Just like Sita wanted the golden deer, tempted and attracted by the golden deer. Srila Prabhupada was asked once by a disciple, Prabhupada, why did Krishna create the material world? Prabhupada was wild, furious. He chastised the disciple. Now that's a question many of us ask always. You know, why would someone chastise? Why did Krishna create the material world? Prabhupada got very heavy, and the first statement he made was, you rascal. My God. And every devotee there sitting there felt, should we ask a question again or not? You know? Prabhupada said, you rascal. Krishna did not create the material world. You created the material world. And the devotee was bewildered. I didn't create, Prabhupada. I didn't create the material world. Prabhupada said, no, you created the material world. Why? Because if you did not want to enjoy separate from Krishna, Krishna wouldn't have the material world just for you. Because you wanted to enjoy separate, therefore the whole material world is necessary. It is like Lanka with the gold, the glitter and the glamour of Lanka. If you go to Lanka, not today, Ravan's Lanka previously, Sri Lanka, you know, made of gold, all golden walls embedded with rubies, emeralds, pearls, lapis lazulis, and all kinds of valuable gems and pearls. Attractive. And so is the material world. Very attractive. Like Sri Lanka. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. Ayodhya is known for character. Lanka is known for competence. Ayodhya is known for relationships. Lanka is known for things. Ayodhya is known for service. Lanka is known for exploitation. You know? And therefore, in Lanka, everything so beautiful, but exploitative. Such a beautiful place. That's the material world. Spiritual world is Ayodhya, character, where character counts. Material world is Lanka, where competence counts. How much I can do and how much I can earn, you know. The spiritual world is Ayodhya, where relationships of love count. The material world is Lanka, where exploitation counts. The spiritual world is Ayodhya, where service counts. Material world is Lanka, where trying to use others counts. Things are meant to be used and people are meant to be loved. Problem is when things are loved and people are used. In Ayodhya, things are used, people are loved. In Lanka, things are loved and people are used. And therefore, there is chaos and there is mayhem. And thus, when we live in a community of devotees, we are meant to create Ayodhya, where there is character, where there is service, where there is love, where people are treated with dignity, with sensitivity, with respect, with honor, with appreciation, with encouragement. You know, that is Ayodhya. Otherwise, Lanka means insensitive exploitation. Simply use. Use people to get things done. Use people to get things, you know. That's Lanka mentality. Material world is like Lanka, therefore. Sita entrapped in Lanka. The Jiva entrapped in the material world. And while Sita is in Lanka, what is Lanka? What is Ashokvatika? 700 demonesses surrounding around Sita. With the head demoness called Trijata. 700 demonesses. And what are the 700 demonesses representing in the material world? Family members, friends, material desires, all of these who ensure that Sita should not escape. Family, friends, material desire ensures that the soul cannot escape from material entanglement. Of course, when we talk of this family, we are not talking of a devotee family, a family which realizes the value of self-realization. Family life based on material sense gratification stops the soul from escaping and going back to Krishna. The job of this demoness is not to allow Sita to escape from Lanka. The job of a materialistic family, materialistic friends, materialistic lifestyle, not to allow the living entity to escape from the material world and go back to Godhead. All these demonesses, they were one-eyed and one ear. They had one eye and one ear only. All these 700 demonesses. And what does this one eye and one ear represent? The one eye and one ear represents two things. The concept of me and mine. Therefore, material world means so amazing. You know, attracted by the golden deer, leaves Ram, Ravan kidnaps, brings to Lanka, surrounded by demonesses, one eye and one ear. The living being, attracted by the separate desire to enjoy, kidnapped by Maya, brought to the material world with the glitter and glamour of the world, surrounded by family, friends, desires, things, not in aid to serve Krishna. And then the concept of I and mine, the one eye and the one ear, which keeps the living entity bound in the material world. And then the Lord sends the spiritual master. Hanumanji represents the spiritual master. Just like Hanuman went to Lanka to rescue Sita and find the whereabouts of Sita, similarly, the spiritual master leaves the association of the Lord simply to rescue the conditioned soul caught in the clutches of the material energy. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, like Hanumanji, was sent by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't want to come to this material world. He said, I was talking to Krishna in the spiritual world and I didn't want to come to this material world. I was scared. And Krishna told me, no, you must go. I said, no, Krishna. Prabhupada said, I don't want to go. And Prabhupada said, Krishna told me, I assure you, you go. You write these books, you help all the living beings there to be rescued from this world. You go there and write these books. I ensure that nothing will happen. No, nothing will touch you. You go. And Srila Prabhupada said, because Krishna sent me, I came to this world. Lord Ram sent Hanuman to go and rescue Sita from the clutches of Ravana. Hanumanji, he came there. Lord Ram doesn't just give a guru to rescue Sita. In that Ashokvatika, there was a lady she was coming to Sita constantly and reminding her of Ram. She was the only one, two noble ladies in Lanka. One is the wife of Ravana, Mandodari, and the second is wife of Vibhishana. I forget her name, probably in tomorrow's class I can tell, I just forget her name. So she came, she would constantly come to Sita and remind her of Ram. So Guru is there, but Vaishnava also needs to be there. Guru is coming to rescue the conditioned soul, but simultaneously devotees have to constantly remind the other persons about Ram, the conditioned soul about Ram. So Vibhishan's wife constantly reminding Sita about Ram. And then Hanumanji comes. He comes and sits on that Ashoka tree on top of where Sita is, just underneath there. And he knows, he doesn't know what to do. He's taken the size of a small monkey and he knows what to do. How will she recognize? She starts reciting Ramayana. He starts reciting the entire life history of Ram. Right? And therefore, the next thing for the conditioned soul to be rescued is books, where recitation of the Lord's glories is done. Right? Books are given by Srila Prabhupada for what? Ram comes and just says, okay, there are nice fruits, you eat some, I will eat some. Hanuman comes and says, okay, Sita, here is some fruit, you eat, you must have been hungry for a long time. Ram has sent a mango for you, take from India, imported from India. Take this mango, you take one, I will take one. Both of us will sit and eat nice mangoes, very sweet mangoes. No, he comes to rescue Sita and the first thing he does is glorifies Lord Ram. The greatest contribution of his guru is to glorify the Lord. And the greatest contribution of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada was what? Glorification of the Lord that he gave in the form of books, which will give the living entity the confidence. Yes, he is a representative of the Lord. What gave Sita the confidence that Hanuman is a representative of Ram? The words that he spoke about Ram, Ramayana. Otherwise, there are many people who claim to be gurus and they talk about themselves only. Srila Prabhupada, giving the glories of the Lord, to give instill that confidence in the conditioned soul, yes. He's not just making some new age philosophy on his own self. He's quoting all the ancient scriptures and is glorifying the Lord. Sita accepts him as a representative of Ram. What does he do? He gives the mudra. The ring that he brought, he hands it over to Sita. And that handing over of the ring that he brought from Lord Ram is initiation, Diksha. Hanuman represents Guru, who's coming on behalf of the Lord, is speaking the glory of the Lord, the books that he gives. And then when Sita is convinced, yes, he's a representative of Ram, then comes the next step, which is Diksha. So what is Diksha? Ram Naam. Takes off the ring which is embedded with Ram, which Ram has himself given, gives it to Sita. That is the initiation ceremony. And therefore, the spiritual master does not give anything on his own. He is bringing the mantra given by the Lord. Just like Lord Ram gave a ring, the Supreme Lord gave Srila Prabhupada. The Parampara gave Srila Prabhupada the holy name. And that holy name is like the ring, the signet, which is given to us in the form of the initiating mantra, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Sita Devi, she took it. And after she took that ring, which is initiation, she offered an ornament back to Hanuman. Please offer it to Ram. This is my heart, my affection. And therefore, after initiation, it's not simply change of name. It's service. Offering of the heart. Offering of the life. Offering of the self. Everything in service to the Lord through the medium of the Guru. The ornament was to be given to Ram, but it was handed over to Hanuman by Sita. Sita gave that ornament. Please offer it to Lord Ramchandra. Therefore, when Hanuman gives the ring, that is initiation. Lord Ram's, on his behalf, has given this mantra. The Guru has given the mantra. And when Sita offers the ornament back, that is seva to the Lord, done through the medium of the spiritual master, Hanuman. So now, Hanumanji is trying to just leave from that place. In spite of being initiated, Sita has to still stay in Ashok Vatika for 1 year. Now she has received Ram's name. She is remembering Ram every moment. But still she has to go through the struggle of being there for one full year. Similarly, just because one is initiated and one gets the spiritual mantra from the Guru, that does not mean that struggles are over. While in Lanka, struggle will be there. While in the material world, all the struggle will be there. And Sita had to struggle for a year, we have to struggle for a lifetime. One lifetime of struggle. Why? Because she got attracted to the deer, 1 year. We got attracted to enjoy separately, many lifetimes, and this is one amongst that lifetime, where the struggle continues. Struggle for the mind, struggle for the body, struggle for the ego. Constant struggle, right? And then of course, Hanumanji decides, I have to now somehow or the other do some extra seva. So he decides to burn Lanka. And after Lanka is burnt, he's brought in front of Ravan. When he's brought in front of Ravan, Ravan asks him, who are you? And he remembers, 4 months back I made that mistake of saying that I am the secretary and servant of Sugriva. And Lakshman taught me a good lesson then. He says, Dasoham Kosalendrasya. I am a servant of Lord Ramchandra, the king of Kosaladesh. And Ravan, of course, sets his tail on fire and the whole Lanka is burned. We know that story. And then Hanumanji escapes and comes back to the shores of the ocean, crossing the ocean. And after 4 months, first time, Lord Ram speaks to him. Lord Ram has never spoken to him after meeting him. Why? Because he had a mistaken identity. What is a mistaken identity? I am a servant of Sugriva. As soon as he accepts his identity that I am a servant of Lord Ramchandra and says that to Ravan, not only does Lord Ram accept him, Lord Ram hugs him and embraces him. Now this role of Mother Sita changes here in our understanding. Previously it was that Sita was compared to a Jiva. Now Sita is compared to the mother, the divine mother, Ladini Shakti. And they say that when Hanuman went as a messenger of Lord Ram, what was the reward he got? His tail was burnt in Lanka. And when Hanuman came back as a messenger of Sita, what was the reward he got? The embrace of Lord Ramchandra. So what does Lord Ram give you? Some struggle. But when the divine mother gets involved, what does the Lord give you? An embrace. Till now, Hanuman had not received the mercy of the divine mother, Ladini Shakti. And therefore, he had not got the greatest reward. But when he went to Sita in Lanka and got the blessings of Mother Sita, when he returned back as a messenger of Sita, as a messenger of Ram, tail on fire, as a messenger of Sita, a hug, tight hug from Lord Ram. That is where the Divine Mother, Srimati Radharani, Srimati Sita Devi, Lakshmi Ji plays the role. The other day we discussed, God is law and the Divine Mother is love. When there is love, even law melts, you know. And then Ram gives a tight hug to Sri Hanumanji. Hanumanji of course further goes and does service. And to rescue Sita, then the Lord personally comes, builds a bridge. So much effort from the Lord, the Acharya, the Guru, the devotees to rescue us from the cycle of birth and death just because we wanted one golden deer. Madhavendra Puri realizes that what is attractive to the Lord is service. And therefore not only does he engage in seva, but he engages all the devotees around in Vrindavan in seva. And in our class tomorrow and day after, we'll continue this. How does Madhavendra Puri engage each one in seva? Right. How does the service actually proceed? And the story moves on. And tomorrow and Sunday we will discuss this. And on Sunday we'll conclude this episode of lessons from the life of Madhavendra Puri. But here in this verse we find Madhavendra Puri collected all the strong people, Mahabalishthaloka, Ekatra Kariya. Why? To engage them in service to Gopal. Some people he engaged them in lifting Gopal because they were strong. Some others he engaged them in giving donations to Gopal before they were wealthy. Some others he engaged them in cooking for Gopal because they were cooks. Some others he engaged them in worshipping Gopal because they were pujaris. And he created a community of devotees who are satisfied serving. They did not find their satisfaction in positions. They did not find their satisfaction in possessions. Because satisfaction in this world is found either in position or in possession. Madhavendra Puri taught all the devotees around him not to find satisfaction in positions and in possessions, but to find their satisfaction in service, in seva. And tomorrow and day after we will discuss further. Tomorrow we'll continue our discussion on the community that he makes based on service, where we'll talk about tomorrow the virtue of cooperation. Today we spoke about seva, and tomorrow we'll hear how each one cooperated, how everyone was there together doing what they could do in service to the Lord, and that around Govardhan Hill was now a community of love, a community of seva, a community of cooperation, all simply to please Srinathji, simply to please the deity of Gopal that was just installed by Shripad Madhavendra Puri. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.